these ones, they like double tortilla it. There's like two
It's a,
tortillas on it.
yeah.
And then in between that, there was a smear of the guac, and that was the guacamole love cushion. And Joey's had
And I'm just going to tell you,
a refried bean love
yeah,
cushion, which I think the
I wouldn't like
guacamole
that.
love cushion sounds better than a refried bean love cushion.
Yeah, no, that sounds like something that comes out of your
I
bushy.
don't want to hear you say things.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Guys, here's the deal. Welcome to episode 45. We are broadcasting from Savannah, Tennessee, catfish capital of the world.
That's right.
And Holly is in my guest room and having some technical difficulties.
It's fine. We're good. We're here. My Zoom decided to update finally after trying a million times. So it had to readjust everything. Okay.
Wow. 45, right? Aren't we on 45?
I think that's
Yes,
correct.
we are on 45.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have had an adventurous week.
We have, y'all. We've got stuff to talk about because we've been traveling.
We went up to Black Mountain, North Carolina, and it was a weekend off where this is where John Garrett is currently at camp. And so we went up to, I rented a house and to just give those boys a refuge on their weekend off. We had one when we were working at camp up in the Ozarks that Phil, Mike and Phyllis Garrett opened their home so graciously to us. And just to go lay down on the floor in the air conditioning.
Yes.
I mean,
it was a blessing. It was a blessing.
Yes. Yes, it was. So we just wanted to do that. But we decided, and this was one of my favorite parts of the trip. It's not exciting, but we decided to go up the southern leg to get to the mountains. Normally we go up and we hit I-40, which is hell on earth. I hate I-40.
Yes, she does. Now, yes. And it is not, it's a regular interstate. And so yes, Joni does not care for it and it is not super fun and it's not super pretty until you kind of get in the mountains. And
it is the third in the United States for fatalities.
And how do you know that? Why do you know these facts? We don't need to know this. We don't want to know.
Because something came up on my phone that said, see the most dangerous worlds in each or dangerous roads in each state.
Oh, okay. Oh, so in your state, it's the most dangerous.
No,
in the whole country.
Then it went on to say that, you know, I-40 was the most dangerous interstate. It was the third in the entire U.S. I think 95, if I'm correct, is the top one.
Okay.
Well, but I'm not.
There
I'm
you
not
go.
Sure.
Well, yeah. So needless to say, though, we went from Savannah here to through Chattanooga and hit that and then headed up through Cherokee National Forest and Bryson City and all that. And it was lovely.
It was
lovely.
So
pretty.
Yeah.
And it was four lane all the way.
All the way.
Like, so you're not on a, because that's the thing, you know, sometimes you get on those windy, well, it
and
might
you
have
get stuck there. I think there was a little section.
I think there was a couple
of
sections that went down.
It wasn't
two.
Bad.
No, but just by like the river and where the rafting and all that was happening. So you're following this river for a while and you're seeing
the
all the people rafting and it was very lovely. We
you go by
our...
the Ocoee, you go by the Nantahala and sunroof open, all the mountain air flowing in and. You know, we might or might not have been singing Strawberry Wine at the top of our lungs, but
what?
Beside that,
I don't
I don't know what you're talking about.
We probably were.
Anyway, that song is stuck in my head now, and I keep
now it's in mine too. Now that you've just said it, now it's in mine. So
hey, give us a line, Holly.
Strawberry Wine,
17.
The hot July moon saw everything. We're going to get in trouble.
Okay.
I don't think
we're going to. Oh, I guess so. Well,
whatever. Jody Messina, call it. Is that who did that one?
I don't even know.
It's like a Jody Messina song.
It's not. I don't know who did it. Anyway.
I think that's who that was, but our people will let us know.
Somebody, I'm sure they thoroughly enjoyed our rendition there.
It's a great coming of age song. I mean, I know it's about things, but it's a classic. It's a 90s country. We had 90s country Spotify on, and this, whatever playlist it was, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't quite the normal ones that I get when I put in 90s country, because there's so much. First of all, the 90s country was just like,
and let me just say, you have to be listening to 90s country when you're cruising up through the Ocoee River and Cherokee National Forest. That requires country music.
It really did. And stuff that you can sing along to, you know, that's the thing. We know, and we, Joni and I were like, how do I know the words to this song, to this chorus that was from 30 years ago or whatever? And I can't remember my passwords to anything. I can't remember, you know, but I can remember, you know, cold, dead, hearted, whatever the whole.
Yeah, you remember that one well.
But I did remember it when it was going, and I'm like, how in the world?
No, I still remember. Look, Sean Cassidy, a do run, 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 a do run, run. I remember all that stuff.
You've dated yourself 100%. I don't remember that because I was young.
Here's the thing. Wait, no, here's the thing, though. I had, you know, a sister 7 years older than I was. Oh, this is,
yeah.
So, you know, there was music playing constantly.
Yeah.
When I was growing up.
But this playlist, but it was a lot of like, I mean, it wasn't, again, there's so much in 90s country, but this one kind of went deep dive. I mean, and not that Shania, but it had a lot of Shania, which a lot of mine don't.
Right.
Feels like I get a lot of like George Strait and who is fantastic, and Mark Chestnut and all, you know, but there was some good deep dive Shania stuff I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
A bunch of those kind of like Jody Messina, Dina Carter.
Yeah, she's the one that did Strawberry Wine.
Okay, that's who it was.
But I think what we heard was a remix. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so. Sure. That was the original.
Was that the original?
It was, because I recognized her little voice. You know, duet with Ariba and Lori Morgan, I believe, sang that.
I the one about Lori Morgan.
Does he love me like he loves me?
Does he love you like he,
like
loves,
he loves
me?
Yes. Right. All about this cheating, no good. Anyway, there's some good cheating songs.
You get him in the morning and I get him in the night.
I know. I was like, what?
There's a tear in my beer because I'm crying for you, dear.
We didn't hear that one. That's like from the who knows when. So we had a good time. We're reliving, singing songs we hadn't sung in a while. And that was really fun.
Yeah.
And then then we stayed at this beautiful, the house that Joni got was just really nice on just a really pretty piece of property. Just lots of trees.
I rented a house in Black Mountain. And I mean, it just was, the space was perfect for what we were doing.
Right.
But the porch was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was fabulous.
All screened in.
And, you know, and there came some monsoons while we were there. And we were able to sit on that porch and
in the rain and not
get wet.
It was delightful. I mean, we just sat out there in the rain and just in our caftans and just had had us a time. So that was. Just
but
great.
We
everything
we
about
didn't
it.
See
great.
A bear. I really wanted to see a bear.
Listen, y'all. Here's Joni.
But,
listen.
But,
no, you be quiet right this minute.
Oh, wow.
They
have to deal with.
They listen. We are there and we're reading the directions. And of course, and this is Bear Cup. This is the mountains of North Carolina. There's bears all over the place. And they put like a little note saying, leave the trash can. There's a bear proof trash can up at the top of the driveway by the main street. Don't bring that down to the house, just leave it there and go take your trash.
Because the house was down a nice little hill.
Right. So they're just saying we don't want the trash, you know, they're trying to keep the bears from coming near the house. That's kind of the idea. Well, Cornbread here was like, I think I just want to go throw some bread out in the backyard and just to see if we get any bears to come up in here. And I'm like, Joni, I want to see a bear too. Like I really did. I was like, I would love for one to come walking across. But I said, I don't think they want you luring the bears into their
I was going to put it at the top of the hill, kind of by the garbage can, but where we could see them. I wasn't going to bring them down to the house.
Well, anyway, I don't think she did it, but the trash can was dumped over.
I wanted to feed the bars.
She wanted to feed the bars. The trash can was dumped over when we left. I mean, it locked, so it wasn't dumped out. But
And I found bear tracks.
Yeah, we think there was some bars trying to get in there. So
no, I mean, out back. You know, I went out tracking.
Yeah. But I'm sure they're all over. It's the woods and the mountains. They're all over the place. They're all over camp and everything. So we did. We had a delightful time in Black Mountain. What is she laughing about?
Sitting here. I am 53 years old and I am legit like out behind the house, walking up in the hills back there looking for bear tracks. Like she even know what I'm doing.
She is. And she showed me all around. She's like, this looks like one. I'm like, honey, that's just a divot.
It got washed out.
There was dents in the mulch. And she's like, that looks like a bear track. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. But there were some scratchy ones that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. So
there was a legit paw print. I mean, you could see a legit.
I believe her. Yep. I believe it.
Paw print.
I believe it. 100% I do. You know, I do. Do you want to tell? So, I mean, just overall, we had a wonderful time in Black Mountain. We ate at the bistro. We ate at a new restaurant called Proper and Pure and Proper, perhaps?
Pure and Proper.
Oh, now, you're going to tell that story.
I'm going to tell this story. So legit. I don't Pure and Proper. If you are in Black Mountain, North Carolina, it was a delightful restaurant.
It was delicious and beautiful.
And this
it's a
had
new restaurant.
Nothing to do with the restaurant whatsoever. But Holly and I are sitting out on the patio, and you know, sometimes the hair on the back of your neck stands up. So this man walks out on the patio where we are by himself. He has a drink in hand. And he's just walking around on the patio, and then he just kind of stops and looks at us, and I'm looking away.
Yeah, big beardy guy, and he's got his cocktail, he's got his whiskey, his big old whiskey in his hand, which that's all fine. I mean, and he wasn't like mountainy looking; he just was
no. He had
older,
on a t-shirt,
beardy
and shorts,
dude.
And you know, but he's just walking. I mean, there's no reason for him to be walking around out there. He was at the bar.
He was seeing the sights.
Well, he was seeing the sights for sure.
Anyway,
finally he walks out and I said, Holly, that man gave me the creeps. I don't know what it was, but he gave me the creeps. Well, a few minutes later, he comes out and the patio is pretty close space.
Small. Yeah, it's not like a big space, and kind of where our table was right up against where this
like
little outdoor bar.
Like an outdoor bar.
Like
so there's a
counter.
Bar stool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of sitting right behind Holly. Well, here comes this fella again, and he comes up and he sits on that bar stool. Now, y'all, he is so close to us. I mean, like he can hear every word we're saying.
Yeah.
He can.
He's right. I could feel like I'm like, because Joni looks at me. She's like, I kind of see. Just, so he's looking right at her.
Yeah,
so
I looked
she
at
can't
Holly.
Hardly...
Yeah. He's looking right my direction. And so I kind of look at Holly and just said, hey, are you aware? And she said, Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm aware of Mountain Beard Man breathing down my neck back there. But I should have just flung up back my fork real hard or something by accident and been like, Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know,
it was the bizarrest.
He was a little close. And I mean, like we said, our table was close to that, but there was like five or six stools and nobody at the table next by the time, there was other stools to sit on and he just kind of sat right there. It was just too close. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna cut you. You need to move along. But
I mean, we
did.
Were, it was so, it really was disturbing enough that as we were walking back to our car, we were like continually checking to make sure he was not following us.
I wasn't that scared of him, but we were checking.
Well,
we dodged around the corner. As soon as we got around the corner, we were like, shoop,
shoop, shoop.
He went back to the bar inside.
I did not make eye contact with him. I did not. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Wait a second. And this has nothing to do with us and this situation. And we're going to come back to Black Mountain. But while we are on this, you know, Ron deals with a lot of computer tech stuff. And he has had a couple of men here lately who have been pulled into some catfishing. You know what I'm talking about with catfishing.
Yeah.
So these girls, and if you can see me do air quotes, when you're talking on the computer, unless you're doing Zoom, Like you have no idea mm-hmm. who is on the other end mm-hmm. of that connection.
Yep.
Guys, listen, men. One, if you were old and bald, fat, toothless, and one-legged, a 20-year-old hot thing is not going to be interested in you.
Preach it. Preach it.
I am just saying, I don't know what false reality that these people live in.
I don't know.
I mean, these men, so here's one guy, seriously, morbidly obese, has one leg. And he is sending money. He cannot even afford his apartment now because he is sending money to this girl to go on a cruise. And he is about to get evicted. But she just loves him.
Maybe we should look more deeply into this for our own. Maybe there's a line on this we can. How can we use this to our advantage?
I mean, I'm just sitting here. Ron's telling me all this, and I'm like, okay, what makes you go there? What makes you go? Yeah, I mean, here's the reality of it. It's probably not even a woman on the other end.
Oh, absolutely, it's not. No, it's some dude in a dark basement. Yeah, no, yeah.
That you're sending,
you're
know,
not even
money.
Sending Candy on the cruise. She's not even getting to go because she doesn't exist.
Yes.
I know. It's hard. It's just people want to be loved. They want to be loved.
But
looking for love,
Lord,
in all
have some
the wrong
sense.
Places. Looking for love.
Anyway, that song was written for the internet right there.
Yeah, okay. It really is. It really is. So we did dinner. This our first night. We did dinner. We unloaded. We went to the place, unloaded, and then we went to grab dinner. And then we were like, let's get to the grocery store and get stocked up on what we need for the weekend. So we went down to the old Ingles and we're putzing around, getting all our supplies. And then lo and behold, we get ready to check out and we're getting towards the front of the store. And I don't know why. It must have just started, Joni, because I didn't
just
hear
started.
It.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Just as we're like literally finished shopping and getting ready to go check out, we are at the front of the store and we just hear torrential, you know, downpouring.
Torrential
rain.
It's a monsoon in the mountains.
Which happens
a
lot.
Mountain monsoon.
It was a mountain monsoon, which happens a lot up there. I mean, the rains come and they come pretty hard, but in it, and the doors opened, the front doors, because someone ran out or in or whatever. And we looked out and like you just couldn't see anything. It was a wall of water. And we're like,
it was a wall of water. And here's Holly. I can't run in my flip flops.
Y'all,
I can't flip flops in them. They're wet.
Y'all know when your flip flops, it's not the bottom of the sole, it's your feet in the flop. It just slides all over, and I can't ever walk. And I didn't know. So I always end up just taking them off. Well,
so
we get
here
checked
I am
out
in this light colored cotton dress, and I say, I'll go get the car and I'll bring it up. See, I'm a good friend, Holly.
You are. You are. You said,
I can't walk in my flip flops.
I can't walk in them. It didn't matter, though. It all of our
did not matter.
But she went and got the car and
pulled
kind
up
of,
to the front, like under that little awning kind of thing.
Well, there was
that
barely. It wasn't even an awning.
But I did get you an umbrella.
She comes out of the car. Y'all listen. She comes out of the car with this little umbrella and she's sweet as can be. Go get in the car. I'll load. Go get in. And I'm like, no.
Because I'm already soaked.
Yeah. And
I'm already wet.
I'm not leaving you out here. And so I grabbed the umbrella and then, so I'm kind of like, let me hold it over her and kind of we're trying.
It didn't matter.
So then she gets the back hatch of the car open, which helps, you know, cause you can kind of get under it. And I'm holding the umbrella and we're throwing groceries. The bags are filling up with water. No lie, guys. The bags are like filling, the plastic bags are filling with water in the cart. I'm holding this umbrella. And I'm trying to tilt it back and there's water just pouring off of it onto my whole backside. My whole backside is just getting a shower. Just pouring on it. My flops are slipping.
Which was good. It was good, y'all, because she was getting a bit stanky on that backside.
Anyway, we get them done. I put the cart back in. This young man who was at the door on his phone was just laughing. He probably filmed us. He was laughing his head off.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I didn't even think about that until right now. Because he was snickering real hard when I... Yeah. Put the cart away and get in the car. Joni goes to shut the back hatch and a torrent of water just a Listen, waterfall just comes.
It was a waterfall that came down on top of my head.
We look like two drowned rats.
Round mountain rats right there. Yes. Yeah. I looked like I had been swimming in the Nantahala with my clothes on. I mean, it was.
And then we, of course, by this point, we get to laughing so hard and we can't see out the windshield at all. I mean, she's got the things going as fast as they can. We're in the parking lot. We're laughing so hard. The air conditioner had been on full blast because when we went in, it was hot. So now we're freezing and we're putting the heat seaters on. And then we just had to get it together. I just said, calm down. You have to drive. You have to calm down. So we did. And we made it back to the place. And by the time we made it back there, it stopped raining.
Well, it stopped long enough for us to get things in.
Oh, yeah. And then it started up again.
It started back up again.
But by then we were on the porch. We were happy. Yeah.
Yes. That's right.
There you go. That was our adventure. Getting groceries.
Stayed wet. I just, I came in and put my hair up because it was wet. And when I got up the next morning, it was still wet.
I know. It was something. So, but we had a great time. We had a really good time seeing the boys and just hearing some stories and just, taking care of them for a little bit. So that was Black Mountain.
Let me say something about John Garrett real quick. John Garrett, we did go into camp Friday morning. That's when the parents are there to pick up the children, the end of the term. And John Garrett did not know we were coming. And so I get up in the camp and I just yell when I know where his little tribe thing is. I'm like, Gertie, they call him Gert. And I'd yell, Gertie, your mommy's here.
And like 2 seconds later,
he comes running out. That boy hugged me. He nearly knocked me over, but he looked at me and he said, I am so sorry. And I said, okay, why are you sorry? He said, Mama, I'm sorry. I was a Tasmanian devil.
As a child, it was a good moment of, he was apologizing for being such a Tasmanian devil when he was young, because now he's in a cabin with a bunch of Tasmanian devils.
That's right. That's
so right. It was a good full circle moment. He got his cut. He's getting his comeuppance. And that boy was tired.
John Garrett has tired. Let me just say, John Garrett has a lot of energy and he is on all the time. When you take that little extrovert introvert test, he is 99.9% extroverted. Yeah. And he doesn't stop.
He's like the Energizer Bunny.
He came in and he slept and he showered and he watched movie. I mean, he didn't move. He ate lasagna. And I kept saying, do you want to go do this? Do you want to go do that? Do you want to go? Nope.
No. And I think they ran out and they all ran out and got ice cream or something, one of the nights, and then came back and did a little fire pit Latin, so they hung, but they just hung. Then the next day they just hung and just rested, which they needed to do. So,
his friend Lucas came as soon as he walked in the door Friday. I mean, he was asleep. He went in and got in bed.
Yeah. They're tired. They're tired. It takes a lot. So it was really good. So that was our Black Mountain. We did some shopping and found some cool. Oh, I'm going to tell them about those candles we got.
Tell them
Joni.
About the candles. Okay. Yeah, I did like that.
We just got to poke around in Black Mountain. There's a whole bunch of little shops and restaurants. It's really a delightful little mountain town. If you ever get a chance, it's just about 20 miles east of Asheville. So it's very easy to get to. And so we just got to look around and poke around, which was a lot of fun. We didn't have anywhere we had to be or anything we had to really do. And we went into this one shop that was new. Again, it's been a couple years since we've been there because nobody went last year. So there were several new restaurants and some of the old shops and restaurants, but a few new things, which was fun. This shop was called, I don't have it, Nature's Elements, Elements of Nature.
I don't remember. I just was following you because, I'm not a shopper. I'm just like following Holly, walking in wherever.
We had fun.
Ooh, pottery. That was
yeah.
That was,
yeah. Ooh. We looked in the pottery and I think it was called Elements of Nature or something like that. And it's kind of like body care and home fragrancy kind of stuff. Really pretty shop. And we went in and we were just looking and sniffing. And every once in a while when we're together, we do like to get like a little lotion that matters, just something. We always find a little something. And this lady was showing us there was candles, and I'm not a big I like scented candles, but they definitely have to be like natural, which this place was like a nicer quality kind of place. But, you know, it's not something I need all the time. Well, this candle was lit and this lady came up and started talking to us from the store. And she said, yes, these are our lotion candles. And we're like,
what?
And so she's like, yeah, you, when you light, they're 100% shea butter. It was shea butter, shea butter. And these, well, I don't know what they are, like shea butter or something.
Yeah.
And so you light them and they get melty and then you can, she could dip her finger in there, but she used a stick, you know, but you can kind of into the melted wax, quote, shea butter. And she put it right on her hand and you rub it in and it's a wonderful moisturizing thing. It's shea butter, like melted warm shea butter. So she did it on our hands. And well, that was it. We were like, and it's such a gimmick. It's such a gimmick. Like, it's not something normally I would be like, what are you talking about? Cause, and it is a little bit, cause I'm kind of like, that was one of my questions. I'm like, but if you burn the candle, you know, the stuff is burning up. Like you can't just, it's not a candle that you want to just leave going in your house to scent your house. It's more of a bedtime. Yeah.
It's a bedtime. Light it, get the,
get it melted. Like maybe when you're getting ready for bed, light it and then let it get a little layer of whatever, kind of more of a, almost like a little lovely little ritual is kind of how I'm thinking of it. And it felt unbelievable. Like it was really nice. And so we immediately were like, oh, I think we need to get some. Well, then they had little ones. So they had the bigger size, but then they had littler ones. So we each got three. I think we got the same scents.
I think we got the same scents. Yeah. Because,
but they had,
I don't even remember what we got. The walk in the woods was my
favorite. Walk in the woods, which was amazing. Just cedarwood. And I mean, oh, I'm going to smell like a tree.
Jasmine. Seems like I got some sort of jasmine.
Well, then we got walk in the woods and then we got juniper something. Did you get that one?
Yes. Yes. Did we get and, Moroccan sea salt?
And we got Moroccan sea salt, which that had a little more, that might have the jasmine in it. Okay. So we got three cause it was like three for 45 or something, the little candles. And we thought, well, that'll be nice. Cause then we can try the different things and it won't take long for that little top layer to melt. You know, you can kind of, so we had a lot of fun sniffing that. And then I think I got a body linen spray, room spray, splash. You could put it on your body in the walk in the woods because I just want to smell like a tree. And then I even got a little solid perfume, which I normally don't. This is, again, this was kind of like, what? But they were just really nice. And I think I got the juniper and whatever little solid perfume, just a little tin of that. And they had some nice scrubs you were looking at and some nice... It was, and they smelled really good. So that was our weird little thing with the lotion candles. We don't know.
The only purchase I made in Black Mountain
were those candles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were nice there. That's going to be really fun. Again, I love the idea of especially in the winter, but the Moroccan sea salt one, I think I'm going to start using. That's a more summery.
That's a summery thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that'll be good. But like in the winter, when it gets so dark, you know, and you just are wanting to get ready for bed. You can light your little thing, do your little routine, and then get in bed and put that on your hands and your chest and everything. I was like, that is going to be nice. So there you go. Who knew? Lotion candles.
Lotion.
Yeah. Anything else about Black Mountain? I don't know what else we're going to talk about.
I don't know that there was really anything because we were so low key there this time. But
we were. We had a good time.
The drive was nice and all that. So, but. Mm-hmm. Then we leave Black Mountain.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I forgot about the whole second half. I don't know.
So then we decide early on that we will spend the night. We'll break the trip up a little bit and we'll spend the night in Chattanooga. And I had stayed at the Reed Hotel back
the Reed House
back when I took my students to a CTE conference, back in the spring, and we stayed at the Reed House, and y'all, it's absolutely gorgeous. It is based on like that 1920s style. The chandeliers were beautiful, very
I'll post pictures on social media. I'll do that on social media.
You got some good pictures, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, y'all.
I mean, gorgeous. The everything was, but here there's a little story about the Reed House being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Especially one room, room 311. And here's what happened is that back in 1926.
27. Yep. It reopened and it got renovated in 26 and then 27.
So in 1927, there is a woman, well, a man had been, he was out on business. They were from San Francisco and he was going, I guess, to Chicago or somewhere mm-hmm. on business. I don't know. So he put his wife up at the Reed House in Chicago. Chattanooga. Sorry. Mm-hmm. He went to Chicago. But he had spies watching her. Mm. Well, evidently, Annalisa got a little bit lonely at the Reed House. And she would go down to the bar or wherever, and she would bring some men up mm-hmm. to her.
She was naughty. She was naughty.
Being
a little naughty.
And her spies knew this, and they told her husband. Netherly, was that his last name? I don't know what his first name. I don't know that we've ever heard his first name.
I don't know either,
Mr. Netherly. Mm-hmm. And he came back and went into the hotel room, and she happened to be in the bathtub, and he took a straight razor blade
mm-hmm.
and slit her from one side of the neck to the other side of the neck, nearly decapitating her.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he left, and they never found him. And like housekeeping found her two or three days later.
A couple days later. The maid came in to check because people were like, hadn't seen her, you know, kind of either one of them for a while. So they went up to check and there she was. Gone. It was a little stinky. It was a little smelly when she came in. And then that was the scene in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So
anyway, but there have been, you know, many people have stayed in that room and have like checked out, have gone down and said, I want out. You can bill me for the room, but I'm leaving. I'm gone. Like in the middle of the night.
Mm, yeah. Like they don't make it past midnight. Like they're like, yeah.
So you can tour the room and we did, and our director or our little tour guide, he was a Christian too. And we both discussed how we don't know what to do with this. Like I can't biblically make it line up, but I've seen things that I can't explain. So, you know, maybe it's demonic, maybe it's, who knows? But anyway, there definitely is some sort of evilness that lingers there.
Well, what they've done is they've kept that room. They no longer rent it out regularly. I think every October leading up to Halloween, there's a night every week or so that you can stay there in that room. But otherwise they stopped renting it out because they just were having so many people checking out and
when they rent that room out on Halloween, they are also now requiring that you rent another room because most people can't make it through the night.
They used to just have another empty room that they would keep empty for when the guests, because they come to stay there and they wouldn't make it through the night, so they'd move them to that room to make sure they had another room. And then they stopped. They, like she just said, they finally were like, look, if you're going to stay here, you're going to have to pay for another room, you know, because they're going to hold it open in case you don't make it there. So it's not a cheap experience and not something I would want to do. But they have the room. So the door, it's just on a regular floor in the tower portion, in the more historic portion. And it's just on the floor, and the other rooms are there with their regular new doors and all that. But this one, they've kept an older door and with a lock and a key and all that. Which I thought was really interesting too. And I'd heard this, I think we'd heard this on the podcast we listened to, our tour guide, John knocked on the door before he went in.
Yeah.
And they do that. They knock on the door to kind of announce their
presence.
They're just
they
to
just
like
barge
kind of,
in.
Yeah. They kind of knock. It's really interesting, but the door is older. They, you know, not everything in there is nothing. Maybe one piece is original to the time, but they've kind of taken it back to that late 1800s. It's more late 1800s than the furnishings than it is like a 1920s furnishing. But that's how some of the stuff would have looked back. I mean, that's what the hotel looked like. So it's they've kept you know, kind of that whole look. It's a 3-room suite. So you walk in and it's like a sitting room, like a little living room. Very nice. Like, I mean, no hotel. Yeah. Can you imagine a hotel with 3 rooms like that? Furnished. And then there was the bedroom off of that. And then the big bathroom off of that. So it was,
the furnishings were lovely. I mean, just the woodwork, yes, the wood detail, mm-hmm, and it was really, really pretty. I will say, I had a moment, they have this picture hanging over the bed that is like a christening gown kind of thing. And it has a overlay, like a little sheer.
It's a neat effect. It's a cool effect. Yeah,
it is, but it's not attached. And so as he's talking, out of the corner of my eye, I see this movement from this thing.
The picture starts to move.
Got me for a second.
Yeah. Yep.
Until, you know, and then he realizes the air blows that, you know, I mean, right, it's clear, and it's not there to free. I mean, it's not intended.
It's a piece of art that's this two piece. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it definitely adds to the art throughout the hotel. I will say they embrace it's very, you know, a lot of the furnishing and all that stuff, it is kind of based on that more, 20s and 30s kind of feel. But the woodwork and all in the lobby, all that's an older kind of look. But the artwork is, you know, more new photographs. And there's some creepy, like ghosty looking people. And they definitely sort of embrace that whole vibe.
Now, we did go into, we walked in, the door was ajar. And so we went in to the Silver Ballroom. Mm-hmm. You walked farther in than I did. I
sure did.
In there.
I wanted to walk right up to that. There was one
table.
This is the Silver Ballroom, which is their beautiful big event space. And it's mirrored and it's gilt and silver. And it's just, you know, stunning. We peeked in there. And I try to peek in everywhere the door is open because I want to see. And there was one tiny table in the middle of the room with 3 chairs around it, just sitting there, like with flowers on it and silverware. And I was like, so that freaked me out for a second. Because I'm like, there is one, it's a huge room and there's just this one tiny table. And I'm like, but then I walked up to it and I'm like, okay, they
it's
were probably
display for,
right. It's someone was probably looking to have a wedding or whatever there. So they're showing them what a little sample table would look like.
I will tell you, I didn't like being in there. I didn't want to be in there. I looked around and I thought, this is gorgeous, but I was ready to walk out. And so then later, we were back in Savannah, we were home and I'm investigating because now I want to know, what happened to her husband? They never caught him.
He got away. Yep.
You know, and he was a very wealthy businessman. I mean, somebody knows. Anyway, and when I thought back, I thought, this is just my grandparents' generation, really. I mean, maybe a little older.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this man had, if he remarried, he's got grandchildren our age. And so I'm like, okay, where is this guy? And so I'm looking up all the Netherleys in San Francisco. And
she really is. She's doing a deep dive. It's hilarious.
But as I come across a thing on the Reed House. And so I'm reading a little more history. It had been a hospital during the Civil War.
A recovery. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it had been a hospital in Chattanooga when they had a yellow fever outbreak.
Cholera and yellow fever.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm reading all this. And then it starts talking about the hotel and different, you know, like hauntings and different things. And it said one of the places was the Silver Ballroom. And I was like, yes, because they didn't tell us that room was haunted.
Right. Or that people have had
experiences
or whatnot.
But that was the only room that I walked in that I'm like, I don't want to be here. It's beautiful and I would love to look around, but I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Apparently people hear like chattering voices in it is kind of what if you're in there. And had I known that, I would have stayed a little longer and kind of hung out, but Joni was like already leaving me. So it was fine.
I didn't want to be, I don't know. And I didn't know, we didn't know at that point, but that was one that I was like, no, this is not, I'm out.
Yeah. But it was really, really pretty. Anyway. Yeah. So back up to the room, we were in there quite a while with our guide. He was very generous and told us all his information he knew and stories that he had heard. And we asked questions. The other interesting fact about that room that I think is just as interesting, not even a little bit more, is because it's very verifiable, is that room also was a room where Al Capone stayed. And that's verified. That's not, you know, like he, you know, every hotel is like Al Capone was here. I mean, and there's records usually you can really see, but yeah. He actually was under arrest and was being taken from Miami back up to probably Chicago. And they stopped over. Chattanooga, of course, was a very big, you know, the railroad was very, it was one of the main southeastern kind of stops. So they had a good railroad. This hotel was right across from a station. So that's one of the reasons it became very successful. And I think he said it's the oldest running hotel in the Southeast. Yeah, I believe he told us that because it's been there that long because of the railroad. So they stopped for the night with Mr. Capone, and he got to stay there in that room. Now there's varying, and they did have a picture in there, like a mugshot kind of police sheet or something of him. And there's a couple varying stories from what John, our host, told us, and then what we've heard on some other podcasts where they were interviewing employees of the hotel. So it wasn't even just like, you know, so as with things, a couple different stories. But the interesting thing about that room, too, is it had bars on the window, like square, kind of a grid bars. And so as the story goes, there's one story was that they, the agents, when they were coming to stay there, had those put on that room, you know, because that's where they were going to stay with Al Capone, because the windows open right up to a flat roof, like a flat, like it's the worst possible place you could put like a criminal. I'm like, hello, like, how about you just go to the top floor and not worry about it? But I think they stayed there, I believe, as John was kind of saying, it was more like, cause that room was, they didn't really rent it anymore, or I don't know, it was open. And it had bars on it, because as John told us, they all the rooms on that little level overlooking that little roof, because you literally could open the window and just walk, had bars put on it at one point, because they would have patrons of the hotel would check in, and then they would just open up the window and leave early in the morning and catch the train and not pay their bill. So they put bars on those, but then eventually with the fire code, you know, fire marshal and all, they said, nope, that's not going to work. So they took them off except for the one room, because I guess they weren't renting it. So Al Capone stayed in that room, which I thought that was very interesting. And someone asked me, I think Tim asked me, I was telling Tim last night the story, and he's like, why didn't they just put him in a jail? And I'm like, oh. I said, well, I think it was security. I think he had so many connections with people, and he had been to Chattanooga before. As we read, he ran his whole, were you reading that to me, Joni? How his he ran moved, his yeah, business yeah. from some little mountain house that a friend of his had in Chattanooga. So he had a lot of connections. So well, I think to put him in the jail would be.
He had some police connections as
he
well.
He did. Like he could have and probably. And as they said, you know, he had some enemies too. So they had guards also there at the elevator and on the roof for his, you know, they didn't want people coming at him and they didn't want him getting away. So it was probably a more secure, easier to manage kind of a situation. So that was our wonderful, we did not see any in the room. We didn't have any, Joni claims some hair was falling on her arm and it wasn't a hair, and she
felt
something on her arm.
It was a tickle on my arm, and but, like when you get a hair on your skin.
Right.
And I kept brushing it off and it wouldn't brush it. And then I was like picking at this invisible hair to try to pull off my arm. And
yes. So maybe Annalise was putting a hair on her arm. We're not sure.
It's not a
but
hair.
But it was.
I think it felt like a hair. It felt like that little tickle that you.
Yeah. But yeah, I will anyway. Say, you know, and it was just an interesting experience. Again, we didn't have any kind of, we took pictures in the mirror. We'll post that too. He showed us a picture of that someone had taken in one of the mirrors, and you could see kind of this figure of a woman in the corner. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like, so we took a picture of ourselves in that mirror, and Joni took a few, and nothing, it was, you know, it was rather. Walking into the bathroom, I was a little hesitant of just like, oh, you know, this is the room where this, it really is the room it happened. It's not the original tub and all that, but it's a clawfoot, you know, but still you're like, wow, that is really just to know that something like that happened in a place is very sobering.
It is. It is. So.
Yeah. But then we went and had a cocktail and we were fine. So we did. and got served by a flapper, the little waitress down there. They all dress the workers that are not like the bellman and the valet. There's some people there that are called the ambassadors, and that's who John, they wear the bowler hats and the vests and they greet you. And the gal at the bar had a flapper dress on. And
she did. Now, and we also, we went and met your daughter, Avery, at a Mexican restaurant, Agave and Rye.
Yep. That's right on the river.
Agave, it's right on the river. Y'all, I had one of the best tacos. I'm just going to tell you, it was a happy pappy is what I ordered. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what did it was? It came with a
guacamole love cushion.
A guacamole love cushion.
The menu, I took a picture of that too. It's describing. So these are street taco style. So if you're familiar, you know, really delicious. You know, they're not just like your grandma's, you know, ole taco
Ortega.
Mix. But Ortega, that's it. They're delicious and all kinds of great stuff. Well, these ones, they like double tortilla it. There's like two tortillas on it.
Yeah.
And then in between that, there was a smear of the guac, and that was the guacamole love cushion. And Joey's had a refried bean love cushion, which I think the guacamole like love cushion sounds better than a refried bean love cushion.
That sounds like something that comes out of your boo.
I don't want to hear you say things. I don't want to hear it. But yeah, that humored us a lot. And we're like, what is a guacamole love cushion? She's like, I don't know, but I'm going to get one. I'm like, okay. They were delicious. And Avery and Joey, it's one of their favorite restaurants. They love it. And they're working through the menu, trying all of the different tacos. So they had a plan. And and we just had a very nice dinner with them. And then we went to our tour after that and went to bed.
So
had a good night's sleep.
It was delicious. Yeah. Yeah. But the love cushion. Mm-hmm. It's what gets me. But speaking of love cushions, Holly and I try not to go into any kind of a lot of political stance
But I don't know where this
I'm
is
going off.
I don't know where this is going.
One.
Okay.
I'm going off on one.
I will play clown music over top of you if it gets weird.
No.
Carry on.
I just want to know. I just want to say that some of the more woke crowd, maybe, I don't know. And, you know, they like to change some terminology. They like to change some so that everything is politically correct. But I am going to go on record right now. I am against one of the terms that I've heard they're coming up with. They would like the medical community to stop referring to
a
girl part.
Thank you. Because remember, think of little Sarah
as the
listening.
Correct girl part. They now want the medical community to call it a bonus hole. A bonus hole. Y'all, I'm here to tell you that if my doctor comes out and says anything to me about my bonus hole, he's going to have a bonus.
He's going to have a bonus hole.
And all I can think, y'all, is I'm like, what grade are you people in? Can we get out of kindergarten here? A bonus. No.
It's a lot. We had a lot of fun over the weekend discussing.
Yeah. Shut your bonus hole.
Bonus holes. Y'all, this is not. Think of precious little. Is it Sarah? Is that her
Sarah.
Name?
Let's. Hey,
think
Sarah.
Of her.
Hey, Sarah.
She doesn't need to listen to your mouth say those things. We're sorry, Tracy. There's a little disclaimer. We should have. Too late. It's too late.
Listen, if her mama is Tracy, she knows.
True.
She knows. This girl is exposed. Fro is on my page.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Tracy is a friend that we call Frody. Long story.
I don't even remember the story, but it doesn't matter. She's Frody.
I don't either. She's Frody.
Yeah.
And she has a precious daughter named Sarah. And she has sent us a clip that we are going to post of Sarah going,
so
top three.
She's our little precious fan. Y'all, we have a little precious fan. We might have lost her now. We might have lost her. She might be gone because of this.
She's not gone. Okay. She's not gone.
Precious. Anyway.
I don't know. But Tracy, if she comes out with that phrase, I just said, you can't punish her.
Oh, yeah. It's Auntie Joni's fault. So just sorry.
You'll have to come up here and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a discussion with me.
That was something. We had a lot of bonus hole talks. So, you know. it is what it is. But then we made it back. Anything else, Chad? I don't think so. I think we did that was pretty calm. We had a good drive. We slept in a little bit and got our Starbucks and headed back here. And then we hit the pool. I think we were home 10 minutes. I think we got our stuff unloaded.
I dumped my stuff and I got in the pool.
We were in the pool all afternoon. It was delightful. Yeah. We're going to get in there today. So today so far we went from our night clothes, nightgowns, and then we just are, well, you're still in yours as
I'm
I can
still
see
in
now.
Mine.
Okay.
Well, there's no point in me putting
I know.
On a caftan.
I got dressed in my caftan because then it just goes to the swimsuit in a little bit after I edit. I'm going to edit and then hit the pool.
I'm going to clean my house while you edit because the boys have had the run of it and there's that. So there's that.
Well, okay. Anything else? I think that's good for this weekend update. I don't think there's anything else we needed to catch up on that we left hanging from last week. So do you have a recipe for
this
week? I do.
And so here's what I've decided to do with my recipes is to just kind of go, you know, in some sort of semblance of order of like 1 week doing an appetizer, 1 week doing a salad or a soup, next week doing a main dish, a side dish, and a dessert. But I am going to go out of order a little bit now because coming back from North Carolina, let me back up. There is a drink that is made in North Carolina, and it used to be that you could only get it in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so we would go up to Lake Junaluska when I was young. My parents would take me up there. And I'm telling you, the first thing I did when I got out of the station wagon was to head over to the little soda fountain and order a cheer wine.
There you go.
It has the word wine in it. There is no alcohol in this. It is a soda.
It'll throw you off let me tell you what'll throw you off when your kids come home from camp when they're 9 is, oh, we had a cheer wine. You're like, what? Okay. We love the cheer wine. I'm like, oh,
I love
okay.
the cheer wine.
And yes, I had no idea. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, it's funny because I can get them here now and I'll like be walking around school with a bottle of cheer wine and everybody thinks I'm drinking. I'm like, oh, no. So I would best describe it as like a cherry Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. It's a cherry soda. Cola. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you can get them now more like in Walmarts, Kroger's, those kinds of places. Cracker Barrel also has.
Yes, they usually have them. Yep.
The glass bottles of them. And so I'm going to do a cheer wine recipe just as a shout out to our North Carolina trip. Mm-hmm. So this is a cheer wine poke cake.
Oh, I love a poke cake. And
I love a poke cake.
I do. They're so moisty.
Yes. So they are very moist. Y'all, if you don't know what a cake poke is, basically, you know, you can make a homemade cake if you want to. There's no need.
Nope.
Get you a box cake and bake it.
What flavor do you do? Chocolate or what do you want to, what flavor?
So this one is a white. Okay. This is a white.
Oh, so it'll be pink. It'll kind of get pink.
Yeah. So you are going to get, let me describe a poke cake real quick to those who may not know. If you will bake, like I have a chocolate one that's really good too, but you just take a yellow cake mix, white cake, whatever kind of cake mix you want, put it in a 9x13 pan to bake. Once it's done, you take it out and you take like the end of a wooden spoon, the handle, and you poke holes all through the cake.
You can use a straw. I've done it with a straw, to kind of just poke around. Cause I have a coconut one that is, I should make that for you. You'd love that.
And then you pour this filling over it. Mm-hmm. My chocolate one is like sweetened condensed milk and Hershey syrup. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people do different gelatins and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you pour it over that and it soaks down into those holes and therefore soaks into the cake. And it's delicious. I mean, it's so moist.
Really moist. So, I stick it in the fridge because it's kind of good cold.
Yes, okay, it's got to go in the refrigerator.
Because it's better cold.
One, if you've used a gelatin, it's got to go in there to harden up. And if you use a sweetened condensed milk, it's got to go in because it's milk-based.
Okay.
So for the cheer wine poke cake, you're going to get a white cake mix plus whatever ingredients that are on the box that you need to make that.
Your egg, your oil, whatever.
Yeah. Right. So get one, though, that uses water as a liquid.
Okay.
Because you were going to replace the water with a cup of Chirwan instead of using water.
Oh, to actually bake the cake.
To bake the cake.
Oh,
you were going to use the Chirwan instead of the water. And then you are going to take chopped maraschino cherries and mix all that cake mix together, bake it, put it in your 9x13 pan. When it comes out, and while it's still warm, you're going to poke your holes all through it and take about a cup and a half of Chirwan and a one of the 13-ounce big boxes of, let me back up. You're going to use a small box of cherry Jell-O, one of the small little 3 ounces of your cherry flavored Jell-O. Mix your Chirwan and your gelatin together. You're going to pour that over your cake. Cover it, stick it in the refrigerator for at least 4 hours. And then you're going to come out and you are going to get your heavy whipping cream.
Yes, ma'am.
And whip that up into a stiff peak. Add about, you know, 1/4 to 1/2 cup of powdered sugar, however sweet you want to make it. And get some of your maraschino cherry liquid from the jar and add to it.
It's going to be pink whipped cream, whipped cream.
Yes, ma'am. And then you just use those maraschino cherries as garnish.
Yeah.
You know, just
on the little peaks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Chirwan cake.
That sounds, and y'all, that's easy. Poke cake. They're pretty easy and they're pretty good. And that one sounds really, if you know someone that wants that cherry, and I bet you could do it with a chocolate cake mix and it would be like a chocolate cherry situation.
Like a chocolate cherry.
And that would probably be divine. Mm-hmm. That's a good one, Joni.
It is. So I guess I'll have to make that so we can take a picture of it for our website, Holly.
That's right.
To make it in the next couple of days.
That's right. I guess we're having cherry Chirwan cake. Rock on. Okay. Are you ready for my top three?
I am ready for your top three.
And Sarah, it's my week.
Take it away. Sarah,
take it away, Sarah.
Top three.
Okay. and it's my week apparently again. So I was mixed up last week. Imagine that. So this week, my theme of my top three are, this is the tinted sunscreen edition of the top three. Okay. My favorite, as I've been on a quest, there's so many right now, guys, skincare and it's like so much better. There's so many good tinted, sunscreens, or, you know, it's the CC creams with the sunscreen in them, and they've got like skincare ingredient, like it's so much better. So these are the top three that I am really loving, and have been using. First one is newer to me than the other two, but it's by Super Goop, and it's kind of a yellow packaging. I'll post pictures on social media for sure. Super Goop Glow Screen is the name of the product. It's an SPF 40, and the glow screen comes in, that's the tinted ones. They have an unseen, they have the Glow Super Goop Unseen, which is no tint, which is a very good sunscreen. They have like a spray. They're really a sunscreen product. They've got a lipstick that kind of just a mild color, but that's a good color, but sunscreen again, because you forget about your lips sometimes, guys, and they get burned up. But the glow screen comes in different colors. So the one I use is Golden Hour. It's kind of the medium. I think there's one called Sunrise, which is a little lighter. And I think they even have a new one that's come out called Dawn. That's like for you real pale gals. But it's nice because sometimes people that are very pale, you know, you want a little something. Yeah.
I want a little color.
You want a little something. And then there's a darker one called, and I can't remember what the darker one's called. There's at least one darker than the Golden Hour. Maybe two. I think just one. Oh, what's it called? Bronze. I don't have that one. Anyway, it's very good. Just a really good sunscreen. Really, I have it on right now. You can't really, but just really good. Like that's the most basic one. Like I took it to the beach. Like I took it like really lower coverage and color, but a little bit. The next one that I have been loving and using for quite a while now is by Ilia. I might've talked about it before, but it's their Super Skin Serum, and it is an SPF 40, and it comes in these little dropper. It's a bottle that has like a dropper because it's very liquidy. This one, the other one is more thick, you know, more like a cream, but this is a very liquid, like a serum. It's more of a serum. And it is so delightful. They have a ton of colors of this. Ilia makes a million colors. I can get it at Sephora. You can get it online. You can go to Sephora and, of course, do the tester on it. And it feels amazing. It is very good skincare. I'm using Papa Colia when I'm tan, which is a really tanny olive kind of color. And it's really nice because I don't try not to get any sun on my face. I will do self tanning on my face like a cream, but I really cover it. I don't want any more. The 80s, 70s and 80s and 90s were enough. So I need to often match my face to the rest of me because I just look like this white floating head. It's great. So it is an SPF 40. Yeah, it's really fun. So
take up residence at the Reed House.
I could just be this floating white head. And then when I'm less tan, I use Diaz is the color that I use all the time. Oh my gosh, she just held up a crazy head, y'all, with a bunch of writing on it. Terrifying. But there's a million colors and it goes on. Your skin feels really good. Again, it's got good ingredients. You can use it under stuff too. Joni is white as a ghost, but that's really the fake head she's trying to show me.
I'm Irish.
You're not. You're freckle. You're a big freckle. You're cute.
Well, that's Irish.
So what was I saying? I use this all the time. Like I'll use this as a sunscreen base as like a first step to stuff too throughout the year. And then the last one is by Tula and it's their Radiant Skin Brightening Serum Skin Tint with probiotics and superfoods. Oh, did you know your skin needs superfood? I didn't know. And it has an SPF 30 and it is like pretty serious coverage. I would say I have all three of these. That one is, I get a lot of coverage and then I'm using number 13, which is very tan for me. Even it's the tannest of these three. So I kind of, you know, have to use it a little sparingly or just when I'm tan, like now I can use it. So there's a bunch of colors, but it feels amazing. It stays on great. And they're just, it's really fun. So those are my three tinted sunscreen. Of course, there's a million different kinds you can get at the, these are all kind of more high end, you know, not drugstore, but you know, I don't know that I've had a really great one from the drugstore, but I probably haven't tried that many.
I actually like the Jergens. I don't think.
Oh,
Yes.
It's a sunscreen tinted.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. It's not a sunscreen. No, it's a self-tanner.
It's a self-tanner.
Though.
Yeah.
I use
their self-tan lotion if I do my leg, like the big one for my legs. Mm-hmm. I will use that because it's pretty good. It's not real crazy. So There you go, guys. Get you some tinted sunscreen because let's just be honest. That's just what we're doing right now with our faces. So that's all I got.
Okay.
You're going to clean and I'm going to edit and then we're meeting in the pool.
And then, hey, Holly and I are going, we'll talk about this next week, but tonight we are going to go to the movie, and I just lost the name of it,
Sound
of Silence, maybe.
Is that right?
Hang on, I can pull it up on my,
okay.
But this is
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
Okay.
Yeah, Sound there of Freedom. Go. This is Mel Gibson's movie on human trafficking. And I hear it's a hard watch.
Okay. So this is not like get your popcorn kind of situation. Okay.
No.
Okay. That's good to know.
It's a hard watch, but it's very good. And so we'll talk about it next week. And of course, dealing with what the South, I don't know how much news this got throughout the country, but
I think it got quite a bit.
A woman, and of course, we don't know the whole story or what's happened, but she called the police and said there was a toddler on the side of the road and she
in Birmingham,
got out to,
in Birmingham, yes, Alabama,
in Birmingham
or close.
She got
close
out
to there
to check on the child, had her sister-in-law or her brother's girlfriend mm-hmm. on the phone. And she heard her scream and that was it. The car was abandoned. Her purse, everything was still in the car. I think they found the phone on the side of the road. She was gone.
Yeah, it looked very bad.
Yeah, it looked really, really bad. They were trying to get truckers, you know, dashboard cams and all kinds of things. And, but, you know, praise the Lord, she showed back up at her house. And
the next night.
the next night, or the next, a couple of days. Two, I think it was nights. A couple of days.
Yes, that's right, which is unbelievable. So we don't know the whole story, and there could be a lot more to it, but unbelievable, you know, if something happened. And it looked like that, but, you know, if that was a baby, it was used to lure her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And regardless, you know, human trafficking is a major problem. And Mel Gibson has made this movie, and actually I believe that Disney bought it and had no intention of publicizing it or producing it.
Oh,
and
really?
I think that is the story. And then this Angel, I don't know. I think the film is Angel Productions. They got the rights to it and have made this movie. And it is going crazy in the box office, like beating out Indiana Jones. And
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I just think, cause I've heard it's going to be it's a quality, hopefully it's a quality production. Well, I like the actor that's in it. So
Mel Gibson usually does a very good job.
Yeah. He's a big time director. I mean, he's no slouch. So we'll do that. And then we'll report back next week on that.
All right, Holly. Okay. I'll meet you in the pool.
Yeah, you got it. Bye, cornbread.
See you, corn dog.
Ridiculous.
Shut your bonus hole.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming, and it still got me.
Bonus hole.
I'm out. See you in a minute.